Well, good morning. You guys having a good week? Wow. Online, man, give us some like thumbs up online or something. You guys are having a great week. I'm telling you what, Pastor Jeff, isn't that wonderful? He comes up with all that energy. It's kind of annoying when you don't have it, right? Come on, Jeff, stop it. Like, quit the excitement. But this week has been an interesting week for me. Like, we had a call on Thursday night. We were out and about. And he got a call from our neighbor and said, hey, you got a problem in your front yard. And he said, I think a branch came down. I'm thinking, what's the branch? Who cares? No, a tree came down in my front yard and just missed our house. And so on Friday morning, I sat there with my chainsaw. And I like cutting wood and doing stuff. But I'm out of, like, firewood shape, like, big time. Like, I'm out of shape, period. But I'm out of shape, firewood shape. And so, like, I spent all morning doing it. I was dripping sweat and humidity. I'm like going, I am too old for this. And so like I chunk this tree up and it's like this big. I'm thinking, I can do this, right? So I'm picking it up and throwing it on my gator. And yeah, that night was a bad night. I couldn't sleep. And so like if I fall asleep on you today, you know what I feel like when you sleep on me. So you'll see what it's like. So hey, listen to me. Like this morning when I came in this morning, it just felt like there was a cloud here. Like, it really did. I'm not going to lie. I felt like there's a cloud. And you guys are, like, a little bit more pumped than the first service. And so thank you for that. But it's just like everybody's talking about what's happening in our region. And Broome County cases are up, and this is happening. This is like, it's like Ziggy, man. We had this cloud over us. Can I remind you, God is still on the throne. He is in charge. He knows what he's doing, and no matter what happens, we have hope, right? Like, we always have hope because we know who wins in the end. And so, guys, listen to me. Please don't get caught up in all the stuff. Be safe. Do what you need to do. But remember, the greatest thing that we need to be worried about is people are dying and going to hell without Jesus, and we got to make sure that we share the hope with other people, right? So let's just celebrate what we have in Christ. Be safe, but celebrate what we have in Christ. So thank you for coming today. For those joining us online, thank you so much for joining us. We are finishing up this hashtag struggle series, and I want you to think of Christianity, right? Because I look at this stuff and go, wow, this stuff is hard stuff to do. It's hard to admit that we haven't arrived, that we still have stuff to do and places to go, and we still have growth in our lives that we need to experience. We realize that it's really hard to live this Christ-centered life in such a self-centered world. So we've talked about topics like contentment, authenticity, rest, and compassion. And as we've gone through this series, it really has been challenging. We talked in week one about contentment. And what we heard about contentment was this. It's really hard, super hard to find joy. The joy that God's called us to, the abundant life that God has called us to, when all we're doing is looking around at other people and seeing who they are and what they have and realizing that we don't have it. We always want more. We can't be content. We have all of our needs being met. Most of us have our wants being met, and we have a hard time being content. So we talked about contentment in week one. In week two, we talked about authenticity, and what we said about this as a church, what we don't need is a fake you. We need a real you. We need people out there on the front line saying this. Listen to me. I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived, but I have hope. We need a church that's being authentic and saying we're in a journey too. We have struggles too, but man, we have a solution. His name is Jesus. Week three, we talked about rest. We said, like, how are we ever going to find this spiritual rest that God has called us to when we lived in this unsettling times? How are we going to find the rest when we fail to be still, like it says in Psalms, and know that he's God? How are we ever going to find that rest? And if we can't find rest, if we're always churning in our spirits, typically it means that we're a slave to something, that we're being mastered by something. Maybe it's your job. Maybe it's your worries. Maybe it's your family. But we are stressed out in life. And God says, take a break, step back, and realize that I'm God. Last week, we talked about compassion. And we said true compassion, biblical compassion, demands action. You have to do something. To say you care and not act is not to care at all. And so if we care, we must do something about it. This week, we're going to talk about something that I'm sure that you have no struggles with at all. We're going to talk about relationships. We're going to talk about relationships, and we're going to say we do this week together when we talk about this topic. We've been talking about technology and social media and all the kind of things, how it plays a role in our life. And there's some really cool benefits to technology. But there's also some downsides to technology. We love our Bridgewater app. We love that we're able to go online with our church through this whole season. We were able to go online when we had to shut down our campuses. We're excited about some of the things you can do, like when you have family members around the country that you don't only can call them, you can FaceTime them, you can see them. There's so many cool things that we can do online. But with all that too, we have the inconveniences and things like identity theft and pornography and cyberbullying and people who have been completely overwhelmed by their technology. They become a slave to technology. Have you ever heard too much of a good thing? Like after dinner, having a couple brownies, good thing. Half a pan, not so much. A sermon, 30-minute sermon, right? Okay, 25, good thing. Okay, for some of you, 20-minute sermon, good thing. Hour and a half, too much of a good thing. I think it's the same thing when it comes to our technology, where we see things like texting, scrolling through our feeds, going through social media, emails. We have things like Apple TV and all other kinds of stuff that we see in Netflix. All these streaming devices, it's not necessarily bad. But too much of a good thing? When we allow technology to master our minds and our soul, it will impact the relationships that we have or don't have. Period. How can technology not impact our relationships? My question is more specific. How has it impacted your relationships? Here's what technology has done. Technology has redefined what friendship means, right? We all have friends, don't we? You go online, you open up an account, I have friends. And you look at these people, and I don't know who they are. People who are connected to other people that I know, they friend you, and you're going, I'm going to offend somebody if I don't accept it. So you accept a friendship, and I'm going through my social media feed and looking at it, and my wife will look at me and go, who is that person? I have no idea. The average person has 328 friends on Facebook. So if you're less than that, if you have more than that, wow, you're super popular. 328 friends. What's interesting, though, is people will say this. If you have two real friends, you're very fortunate. Do you know 6 years ago, 20 years ago, they would say that most people would say, I have six real friends in life. Today, do you know 25% of people that are polled say this? I don't have one friend, not one person that I can count on. See, social media has redefined what friend means. To me, a friend is a person that you can call when you're stuck at the airport and go, I don't have a ride home. Can you come get me? A friend is someone that when they come to your house, you don't care if it's a mess. You don't care if it's not picked up. Come on in. A friend is someone you can call and say, I'm going through a crisis in the middle of the night, and you know they're going to be there for you, and you know that whatever you tell them, they're going to keep to themselves. That's what a friend is. Can I share something that's just crazy? I don't think social media allows you to develop those kind of friendships. Second thing about friendship and how social media has impacted is this. We don't develop friendship. What we're looking is for is immediate gratification, immediate affirmation. So we go on social media, I've had a bad week. I need to be encouraged. And what do we throw out there? It's been a really hard day. My tree fell down. And I had to cut it up. Oh, I'm so sorry. Praying hands. Sad face. And as we see people respond to what we're going through, We talked about it a week before. This dopamine is released into our system. It's this chemical. This neurotransmitter goes, oh, and you get this sugar rush. And instead of developing these deep relationships, we get excited about the sugar rush. But the problem is this. They're not sustainable. They don't last. It's not someone who's going to be there for you when you're in crisis. We have gone after the sugar rush instead of true friendship. We've also determined that we can do friendship on our own terms. With social media, when it comes to a text, when it comes to an email, when it comes to somebody messaging you, you know what you can do? I don't have to respond. I can respond. I don't have to respond. I can ignore it. I can pretend like I didn't see it. And basically what it does, it gives us greater freedom to do friendship on our own terms. I'll let you know what I want you to know. I'll let you see what I want you to see. And basically, if I don't want to respond to you, I'm not going to respond. We ignore Instagram. We ignore TikTok. We see things happening. People go, did you not see what happened? My tree fell down. Oh, I missed that. No, they didn't. They put their chainsaw and go, hey, his tree fell down, but I'm not going to help him. See, we can do what we want. We can have friendship on our own terms. Are these statements true about you? The more I use social media, the more I crave personal interaction. I am more connected than ever before, and yet I've never felt more alone. Is that you? So how do we develop these kind of relationships? Relationships that are sustainable. Relationships that are deep. That's what Hebrews says. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. As the church, we're supposed to be involved. We're supposed to be in community. We're supposed to serve one another. And as we challenge each other, we challenge you to love more deeply, to love more unconditionally, to give of yourself sacrificially. We want to challenge each of you to keep moving along in your faith, to become less like this world and more like God. And when you do that, not only will you love more deeply, but you will serve more generously. Love is a big deal to God. What's he say in the first two greatest commandments? I want you to love me, and I want you to love other people. This is what he says in John chapter 13. A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Listen to me. It doesn't say this in Scripture. If you get your doctrine straight, if you're theologically correct, the world's going to go, whoa, I want that. And I'm going to be drawn to Christ because you have right doctrine. What if we do this? What if we wear the right clothes to church? The church is going to be attracted. The people in the community are going to be attracted to the church. Why? Because we dress right. If I carry the Gutenberg Bible, man, to church, and I come walking in with the Gutenberg Bible, are people going to be attracted to Jesus? He says this, they will know that you follow me if you love one another. Well, that's hard. It's easier for me to put a tie on and to carry a big Bible and to go through systematic theology with you. It's really easy to do that. It's a lot harder to love people that are unlovable sometimes. And when we do that, the world pays attention and goes, I want more of that. I want what they have. Why? Because they will know that we're followers of Jesus Christ when we can love one another. The church has lost its influence in the communities around this country. And it's not because of doctrine. It's not because of Bible translation. It's because the church can't get along with one another. Why do we have churches fighting with each other? Why do we have infighting within the context of a building? The community sits out and watch a church. They watch a church fight. They watch a church implode. They watch a church argue. And they sit there and go, why would I want that? Oh, listen to me. You will know. They will know that you are my followers if you guys can love one another. And Jesus said, I'm going to back it up. You know what he did in this passage of scripture in John chapter 13? He looked at his disciples. Get it. These are guys who got it wrong more than they got it right. In today's day and age, we would use the verbiage, they were kind of boneheads sometimes. And Jesus, the King of kings and Lord of lords, the Prince of peace, the Alpha and the Omega, all things were created by him and for him. He gets on his knees. He takes a towel and a basin of water, and what's he do? He starts to wash his disciples' feet. And there's no, you can't do that. You can't do that. He's going, oh, no, no, listen to me. I'm telling you what you could do. What I'm doing for you, you need to do for everyone else. You need to serve them. You need to love them. You need to humble yourself before them. And Jesus got on his knees and he washed their feet. You know how awkward that would be if we pulled a basin out and said, okay, that's what we're going to do. You're going to have to pick someone in the room that you don't know. And I want you to wash their feet. It would be awkward. For some of you, it'd be gross. So I was in my 20s in a church. I was preaching through Philippians chapter 2, the kenosis passage, where Jesus Christ came to earth and he emptied himself. He left heaven and he voluntarily set aside some of his attributes. Why? So he could live among the mess. He could eat with tax collectors. He could talk to prostitutes. He would work with individuals who are blue-collar people and said, I'm going to empower you to grow the church. He took care of people with special needs. He left heaven and came to earth to serve, to make a difference. And he said, that's what I want you to do, and I'm going to give you an example of that by me washing your feet. So I was 20. I'm preaching through this passage, Philippians chapter 2. And I thought, man, I'm going to do something really crazy. I'm in a Baptist church, right? We don't do foot washing in Baptist churches. So I said, I'm going to do this foot washing. I'm going to blow everybody's mind. So I'm in the middle of Philippians chapter 2 preaching through, and I'm going, okay, I want to show you guys something. So this guy that I was working with, and I've been discipling him, is an older gentleman, wasn't one of the guys who was in the group. And I said, man, could you come up on the platform? And I had him sit on a seat, and I got on my knees. And I said, this is what I think Jesus was talking about. And I washed his feet, and I thought it was just this crazy 20-some-year-old kid doing it. And I looked up, and I saw this guy, he had tears in his eyes. And I started getting emotional. I'm going, I didn't know this would be so powerful. And I look, and I see people crying out there. Why? Because God asked us to humble ourselves to other people, to serve other people, to bend down in whatever way it is, and wash their feet. I want you to know something, folks. You're not going to find that on social media. You're going to only find that when you engage people. I want you to do this. I want you guys to embrace the awkwardness of love. If we love like God has called us to love, it will be awkward. We moved into our neighborhood. We got a neighbor, doesn't think much of church. And so we thought we're going to love him to Jesus through baked goods. I remember, and I'm pretty outgoing. I'll talk to anybody anytime. But I felt a little weird walking across the road with a plate full of brownies. And I walked over and just said, hey, my wife made some stuff. We just want to give you some. He looked at me like I was nuts. He thought, what's in the brownies? They're awesome brownies. And week after week, my wife would make stuff, and we'd start walking across the street. And man, when I started, it was awkward. But as time went on, he'd meet me in the yard. He's got food. And out of a crazy display of, we want you to know we care about you, God began to open up doors. He didn't want to talk about God. He didn't want to talk about church. He told me, I don't want to talk about that stuff. You're one of those guys. You're a pastor. All you want is money from people. That's what he told me. All you want is money from people. Well, that's true. That's my mission in life, is to get money. I'd laugh, and he'd say stuff to me, and I'd just laugh at him. But you know what happens now? I walk over to my brownies or whatever we have, and he goes, hey, can I ask you a question? Amen. What do you think about this? And he'll ask me spiritual questions. What do you think? What should I do with this? Brother was dying of cancer, and he asked me questions. He's asked me all kinds of spiritual questions. And this guy started off and goes, I don't want to talk about this with you at all. Cookies opened the door. But I want you to know it was awkward. When I'm in an airport, I'll talk to anybody. I'll talk to anybody on a plane. Hey, what's up? See, people are like, it seems like you're in a bad day. What's going on? It's amazing when you get in these conversations, it's a little awkward. But it's amazing how God opens the door. To find out that someone's hurting, they've been misdiagnosed with something. To know that maybe their marriage is breaking up or something's happening. And to call someone and say, I'm not sure what's going to happen, I'll make this phone call. But you make the phone call anyways and you embrace the awkwardness of love. You're just there, man, just to represent Christ and to be an encouragement to someone who's hurting. What does it say in Hebrews? And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let's go to the next verse. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. I told you through authenticity, we can't be fake about it. There's times you got to walk in and look at people and say, you know what? I don't want this to be shallow. I don't want this not to be authentic. But I want you to know, I really don't know what to do. But I'm here. It needs to be sincere. You can't always have the answers to everybody's questions. Sometimes you just need to be there. And we rejoice with those who rejoice, and we weep with those who weep. And it's amazing how God uses just your presence there to say, I care. I've told you, some of the people who had the greatest ministry in my life when we went through a hard time, they didn't say a word to me. The people who annoyed me is the people who try to give me an answer to everything. You know, God works all things together for good to those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose. I am crushed in my spirit. I don't want to hear that. I know it's true, but I don't want to hear it. I want to see somebody sitting across the room and they just have tears going down their eyes going, I don't know what to do. Thank you for hurting with me. All I need is someone here on my team. I need someone who understands what it feels like to have pain. How do we show love? Sometimes there's some different ways here. We can go through this, and we're going to do a little bit of a game kind of thing. It's putting them in order of shallowest to most powerful. But sometimes, could you imagine if you just spent some moments every morning to encourage one or two people with a text? I want you to know this morning when I got up, you're my prayer journal, and I prayed for you. To have someone who says, like, you know they're having tests that day, and as they're driving to the hospital, you go, hey, I want you to know. I know you got appointments this morning, but I want you to know, man, I've been praying this morning before I left for work. I was praying for you. Hey, listen, I want you to know how much you've encouraged me this week. Thank you for encouraging me. It's amazing how just a little note, so simple, can be such an encouragement. Go to the next level, and you can start writing cards. You know what those are, cards? I know we don't see those anymore in the generation. We actually have a paper, and you send it in the snail mail. It used to be a thing. But if you've ever got a card in the mail, and you see a handwritten note from somebody to tell you what an encouragement it's been to be your friend, or how much you were blessed by what happened, and they write this note, and you read it, and going, I can't believe they took the time to write me a card, put my address on it, and send it in the mail. You go to a whole nother level, you start making phone calls, and now they're talking back. It's not just to know, hey, I'm thinking of you. It's like, hey, how are you doing? And they tell you how they're doing. You got to go back and forth. You can FaceTime, it takes another level. But ultimately, it's being in the room. It's coming alongside people and just going through the experiences that they're going through. Sometimes you're not going to say. Sometimes it's going to be awkward. Sometimes it's going to cost you financially. Sometimes it's going to cost you your time. Sometimes it's going to cost your energy. But it's caring enough to show up. I want you to embrace the awkwardness of love. Next, I want you to just be present. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says this, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's a place where we neglect one another. There's something important about being together, being present, looking face to face, talking to people. I want you to know this. I like small group. I hate doing small group online. Zoom small group, for me, I struggle with. I struggle with being online. I have a teacher say, oh, I'm teaching my kids, and they're online. And they'll say, what? I miss my kids. There's something about being together as God's church. Coming together and hanging out and caring for one another, loving one another, serving one another, looking in your eyes, and people say, how are you doing? I'm doing well. You're going, I think you're lying to me. I really think you're lying. What's going on? It's been a hard week. What does Matthew say? For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. There's something about God's people being together in his name that makes a difference. There's something powerful. It doesn't mean you can't experience God on your own, but there's something powerful. There's something different about the church getting together. I think God saw the importance of him coming to this earth when he humbled himself. Man, you remember God with us? And he came down and he ministered to people face to face. What's it say this again? Let's go back to not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day approaching. Can I encourage you when you're with someone to be present? There's this thing that came out years ago. It's called FOMO, F-O-M-O. You know what that means?
Fear.
That's right. Fear of missing out. You're talking to someone. You're at your dinner with your family. You're in a small group. People are sharing their journey with you. And your phone buzzes in your pocket. And what we do is we reach in our pocket and we grab our phone and we look at it because we have a fear of missing out on something. If that's your family, if that's you, and you're sharing your heart with someone, you're telling someone about some of the things you've been going through this week. You're talking about some of the tough times you've been through. You're sharing your joy with people. You're going through this process. And their phone buzzes, and you're going, man, I just want you to know it's been just a really hard week. And just a minute. You lose your opportunity to have influence. We need to learn to be present. We need to learn to be engaged and intentional. At some point, we need to go beyond this, hey, you're doing great. We need to turn this to a spiritual component. We need to start asking people questions where, frankly, what we're trying to do is we're trying to get them to think critically. We're trying to get them to think biblically. When you're talking to people, do you ask them questions that are deeper questions? Or do we leave it all superficial? I wonder if they're going to have the NFL season this year. I wonder if college sports are coming back. Or do you sit there and say, hey, can I ask you a question? If you could paint a picture, where do you want to be 5 years from now? What do you want your life to look like? And as they answer that question, you'll find out what they worship. You'll find out what their priorities are. You'll find out what matters to them. I ask our staff every week, I ask them a question. Every time at our staff meeting, we are all together and ask them a question. I say this, different questions. I say, I want you to know, what is God using in your life to fill up your tanks? Whether it's emotionally, whether it's physically, or whether it's spiritually, what is God doing in your life? What are you using to help fill your tank? I ask questions. Hey, can you share with me one thing in the past 7 days that you want to give glory to God for what he's done in your life? Ask them questions like this. In what area of your life is God challenging you the most right now? Where are you feeling convicted? What is God trying to work on in your life right now? It's crazy when you ask people questions. I find people want to talk. You'll be on a plane and go, hey, tell me, what do you think of Jesus? What? Like, seriously, what do you think of Jesus? How do you come to what truth is in your life? Is it intuition? Is it logic? Is it experience? What is truth to you? Do you believe the Bible? It's amazing when you start talking to people about deeper questions. It just leads into the spiritual conversation. Jen, social media, it doesn't seem to happen that way. It becomes this fight. But when you're face to face, it's amazing what God can do through it. Embrace the awkwardness, be present, and finally, turn it off. What I mean by that is, if you're going to do something in life, there's a principle in the Bible where you like take something off, you put something back on. You can't just take something off, because if you take something off in your life, typically if you don't replace it with something, you'll go right back to what you were doing. So there's that principle of take it off and put it back on. And I'd encourage you, if you want to be present, you have to be less present online. We talked about in this series, it's important that you shut it off. It's okay to turn your phone off. It's okay to not have your phone at the dinner table. It's okay to spend time with people and put your phone in the car or in the house or somewhere where you're not there. It's okay when you're on vacation to shut it down and leave it at the place where you're staying. Sometimes we need to just shut it off, and then we need to learn to be intentional in reaching into people's lives and having an influence to make a difference, to saying, God, I want you to use me to change someone else. I know God gives the increase, but he uses us as vessels, broken vessels, to make a difference. Are you being intentional with what you're doing with your life to make a difference? Hebrews chapter 10, again, says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. What is the day approaching? Someday we're going to all stand before God. And I want you to know this. God's not going to ask you, how many friends did you have on social media? 328. I was average. How many likes did you get? How many cool things did you do online? How much time did you play games online? How much Netflix did you watch? Tell me what you did with your life. I want you to know this. He's going to say, what did you do with all the amazing people that I put around you? Did you build relationships? Did you make a difference? Did you show other people that you love me? And did you love them as you love yourselves? Or did you live for yourself and live in this cocoon of a world called social media, a cocoon of a world called technology? Or did you engage people to make a difference? Did you look and say this, hey, you know what? This is not about me. I must decrease, but the one I'm pointing you to must increase in your life. It's Jesus. What have you done? It's not about how many likes you get. It's going to be about who you love and how God used you to make a difference for eternity. What are you investing in? Guys, listen to me. Have you engaged in any way someone to say this, God, use me to see them become more like you and less like this world? Are you engaging with anyone in that way? Are we just sitting back, distracted, concerned, living in fear, living in our little cocoons, getting wrapped up in our little worlds? Or are we giving everything we have for the glory of God and for the good of others? I had a youth pastor say something similar to this to me when I was growing up. The greatest joy you will ever find in this life is in serving God and serving others. You can buy nice vehicles. You can buy big TVs. You can redecorate your homes. You can get jobs where you make more money. But I want you to know this. If you want to find purpose and fulfillment in this life, it's going to be found in serving God and serving other people. Guys, make a difference. Make a difference. Father, I thank you so much for giving us your word and simple principles that we're supposed to follow. And there's so many times as a world, man, we just wander around. We feel lost. We feel frustrated. We feel unfulfilled. As we look at your word, we realize why. The things that we thought were important really aren't all that important to you. And the things that matter, we've not made a priority. There's there's not one person who's watching online, not one person in this room who's arrived. We all have to take steps towards growth. God, I pray that you use this series and your word and your spirit to change lives. We ask in your son's name. Amen.
Would you stand and sing with us?